The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to a Wednesday edition of Bob Burney Live. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me on this absolutely spectacular April afternoon in Ohio. And it, boy, it is a spectacular afternoon. If you're a regular listener, you know, I hate winter. I absolutely hate winter. But I absolutely love spring in Ohio. And we have already had what I consider to be one of my favorite days of the year. For me, one of my favorite days of the year is that first day when you can throw open the windows, throw open the doors, and just let the breeze blow through the house. We had that several days ago. And, I mean, let's admit it. Ohio is a beautiful state, particularly during the springtime. Those pear trees that blossom, we've always called those the popcorn trees. From when our I don't remember which one of our kids, but they named those flowering pear trees. Yeah, the flowering pear trees, called them popcorn trees. And that's kind of stuck, and all the other beautiful colors and the green coming back and the lawns turning green again and the smell of fresh cut grass. It's a wonderful time of year. It really is. So anyway, welcome. Here is my telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Well, sadly, we begin the program today with some sad news from the Columbus Zoo. The family of Jack Hanna released a statement through the Columbus Zoo that Jack Hanna, the beloved director emeritus for the Columbus Zoo, has been diagnosed with dementia, which they firmly believe is Alzheimer's. And according to the family statement, it is progressing very rapidly. So, he was very, very active until just several months ago. And, of course, the zoo is going through kind of a crisis right now with the two top leaders being forced to resign over a scandal and so forth. The family wanted the public to know that's why he is not appearing in public, because I think a lot of people thought when this big story broke that the two top executives of the zoo were being forced out because of a potential scandal, I think a lot of people thought, well, where's Jack Hanna? Jack always steps forward when there's anything about the zoo, and I think a lot of people expected Jack Hanna to hold a press conference and saying, hey, we got some problems, but don't worry about it. We're going to deal with it. The zoo's going to be fine. And there was no Jack Hanna. And I think that's probably why the family felt it necessary to go public. So our hearts and prayers go out to the entire Hanna family, and particularly Jack and his wife, and of course their children. Alzheimer's is a horrible disease. My wife's father died with Alzheimer's. My wife's sister died with Alzheimer's. Her brother was just recently diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's has touched our family and very, very close friends far, far, far too often. And I want to say this carefully and cautiously. Millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars were spent to develop a COVID-19 vaccine. It was an unprecedented medical, scientific effort, unprecedented in world history, the amount of attention that went into developing the COVID-19 vaccine. You just wonder if that kind of attention were to be turned to Alzheimer's. Every once in a while, there's a very promising therapy that comes around, a new medicine or whatever. And then, it gets a lot of press. Oh, this is the next great step in treating Alzheimer's. And then it just kind of goes away again. It would be wonderful if the medical community could develop a vaccine that would prohibit the development of or prevent the development of Alzheimer's, or a cure. We're not there yet. Evidently, there are some promising things on the horizon, but we're not there yet. Anyway, Jack Hanna, diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. Pray for him and pray for the family. It's an extremely frightening thing when a family begins to go through this. We know. We've been there. Then before the break, we rejoiced, at least the pro-life community in Ohio, rejoiced when the telemedicine abortion ban law was passed on January 9th of this year, signed into law by Governor Mike DeWine. What it did, or what it should do, is prohibits doctors from prescribing abortion pills over TV, telemedicine. You'd have to go see a doctor in person and so forth. It was set to go into effect on April 12th, but as is the case so often, a federal judge yesterday issued a temporary restraining order which will prevent Ohio's telemedicine abortion ban from going into effect. Once again, a judge has thwarted the clear will of the people. This legislation was passed in a bipartisan manner through the Ohio legislature, signed into law by the governor, and now put on hold. It hasn't been overturned. It's just been put on hold by a federal judge. So we will we'll keep an eye on that for sure. All right, we're going to take our first break. My telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Something is unfolding as we speak in Canada that should cause shivers to run up and down the spine of any American who really believes in freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of association, in fact, anyone who believes in freedom at all. It is unfolding in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, at Grace Life Church. Now, if you've been following this, if you've been listening to this program, I've been trying to keep you up to date on Pastor James Coates of Grace Life Church in Edmonton, Alberta. You may remember that he was placed in jail and sat in jail prison for over a month simply because he would not follow exactly the COVID-19 restrictions that had been placed on his community. They met in person in church, and I want to drive this home. Many of us, many people have been critical of Governor Mike DeWine and how he's handled the COVID-19 crisis here in Ohio and so on and so forth. And I, at times, have been critical of some of the decisions he's made. But I have made it absolutely clear. He has never shut down churches. He has never enforced a mask mandate in churches. Has he encouraged that? Yes, he has, repeatedly, over and over and over again. But he never shut down churches. He suggested that when this whole thing started, he suggested the churches not meet in person. And I think most churches in the state of Ohio obliged. Most churches in the state of Ohio did not meet in person for several weeks. Some went to drive-in services. Most churches went to streaming and so forth. But that was never a mandate from the governor, to his credit. Now, in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, Grace Life Church was given an edict by their local government. You cannot meet in person. Pastor Coates of the church said, Scripture says we are to meet together, and we're going to take precautions. We're not going to be flagrant, but we're going to meet. And they did. The government warned him, don't do it again. Pastor Coates said, I'm sorry, I obey God, not government. And he was arrested, put in jail for over 30 days, and he was just released from jail on March 29th. All right, so he was just released from jail recently on March 29th. And he has refused to buckle under to the draconian measures of their local health department and their local government. All right, what is happening now as we speak? Police and government authorities are building a fence and putting up barricades around the entire church. When I saw this morning, I thought, They're putting up fences and blockades around the entire church so that no one can enter this house of worship. Now, folks, what happens in Canada often, and I mean often, drifts southward across the border as Canada leans farther and farther to the left. America follows in their footsteps as we tilt farther and farther to the left. Now, I have traveled all over the world. Fortunately, I've been just blessed of God. Doesn't make me better than anybody else. I've just been very, very privileged. I will never forget being in Cambodia and hearing the horrendous stories of the socialist communist government in the days of Pol Pot. I will never forget the stories that I heard in many local churches in Russia about the old Soviet Union days. We traveled for several days just going from small church to small church to small church around the interior of Russia. And we heard story after story after story of the oppression of the Soviet government during the days of the Soviet Union. As most of you know, I have been to Moldova probably 20, 21 times. I will never forget the stories that I have heard in Moldova when Moldova was part of the former Soviet Union, and how the authorities, the communist authorities, would arrest people in the middle of the night, tear down churches and so forth. And I could go on and on and on. And of course, we know what's going on in China right now with evangelical churches. Who could have predicted that the government of Canada, now this is not necessarily the federal government in Canada, this is the local government in Edmonton, Alberta. They are erecting a fence to keep people out of their church building. That's the kind of stuff that happened in the Soviet Union. That's the kind of stuff that happened in Cambodia. It's the kind of stuff that happened in Vietnam. It's the kind of stuff that's happening in China right now. This is the kind of stuff that happened under Fidel Castro in Cuba. And it's happening today, right now, as we speak in Canada. But now, we're not there yet here in America. Although, if Gavin Newsom had his way in California, we would be there. If Cuomo in New York had his way, we would be there. If Governor Whitmer in Michigan had her way, we would be there. What I'm saying is, this is the kind of power and authority over religion and people of faith that the liberal left craves. This is the kind of power they crave. And the only thing that's stopping it here in America is a healthy fear of the people. And you know what? We need to make sure that that fear does not go away. Pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ at Grace Life Church in Canada.